Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 this morning. We're going to read this one verse together. First time we read through, I'll read through aloud and you read along silently. And then since we're reading one verse, as our custom is, we'll read the second time through in unison. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. As you're finding your place, if you're able, please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God this morning. Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's read it together. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Father, we do pray that you would bless us this morning for being here. Those that are on the internet this morning listening, bless them. God, help us to be better Christians for being here today. You're a wonderful God, powerful God. Thank you for being who you are. Now, Lord, help us today. Help our pastor as he comes and preaches from this passage. Use him, empower him with thy Holy Spirit power. Help us to have ready Holy Spirit ears. And fathers, it's been prayed already this morning. I will pray again. If there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would trust him before they leave today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I ask that you check your electronic devices and make sure they are quieted or silenced or turned off or whatever the case may be, please. We live in an incredible day today. Did you ever think that your day would come when you could make phone calls from your watch? 1931, the old comic strip Dick Tracy came out. I remember the old comic strip Dick Tracy. Good. Why are you young people raising your hand? You never saw that in your life. Came out in 1931. In 1946, the man who did that comic strip first put in how Dick Tracy would talk to his watch. 1946. Now we have people who talk to their watch. Of course, we have people who talk to themselves too, but we won't go into that this morning. It's an amazing day of electronics. It's an amazing day of modern advancements. It is an amazing time to think that with a simple electronic device of some kind, you can access billions of bits of information in an instant, just like that. Our lives are different because of many of these electronic devices. And we won't go into how different they are, whether it's different good or different bad or not. For myself personally, I think it's kind of a scourge. But it's also a necessity that we have all this stuff, I suppose. Now, if you're wondering, since we read Genesis 1:1, are we starting a series where we're going to read every verse in the Bible and go through the whole thing? That wouldn't be a bad idea, by the way. But no, here's the thing. Now look at me this morning. Genesis 1:1 is not just how the Bible starts. Genesis 1:1 has great life lessons for us. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven. We used to say heavens, it's heaven, which encompasses all three levels of heaven. The heaven where God is, the heaven of the stratosphere, and the heaven of the air that we breathe. God created the heaven and the earth. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, that's pretty basic Bible stuff. Yes, I know. In the day where we can talk to our watch, I think maybe we should just get very basic this morning. So if you were looking for a doctrinal dissertation, you came to the wrong service. Come tonight, I'll try and do better. Because right now, I just want to talk to you about life lessons from Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Now listen to me this morning. In the beginning means, well, let's get a few lessons from it very simply for us today. In the beginning, God, it means this. When it all started with God. So, of course, Pastor Johnson. No, not of course. Absolutely. In the beginning, God, when it all began, when there was nothing, God stepped out onto nothing and spoke everything into existence. The only thing that he used his hands for was the creation of man and the creation of woman and the animals, the creatures. But everything God, when there was nothing, God stepped out onto nothing and he started it all. And it says, in the beginning, God. I've had people ask me before, you know, the great theological question, well, where did God come from? The answer is Genesis 1:1. That's where God came from. When it all started, he was already there. Say, no, that doesn't answer the question. Yes, it does. It answers it very clearly. There was nothing, and before there was nothing, there was God, and then there was something. But it all started with God. Now, the life lesson about that means this. Now, listen to me very carefully. That means anything that started that's the way it should be should start with God. So, for instance, your day today should have started with God. Not with your phone, not with your laptop, not with your television set, not with your coffee maker, not with your microwave oven, not with your schedule, not with your burdens, not with your problems, not with your difficulties. If your day started the way it's supposed to, it should have started with God. As soon as your eyes opened this morning, you should have started talking to him. As soon as your day began, it should have started with him. Because see, when it all started, God was already there, and it all started with him. See, that's where our life starts to come apart. That's where everything starts to go to pieces. That's where everything starts to fall apart. We leave God out of our day. We get up. We bolt into our day. We charge off into our lives. We get ourselves connected with the world and friends and society and the world. Oh, my goodness, there was Black Friday was yesterday. There are people in this room that were up at 1 o'clock in the morning, midnight, standing in front of Target to get an $850 television set for the price of a toothbrush. And there we were, charging into the day today. But wait a minute, tomorrow will be any different for those same people. And they'll wonder why their life doesn't come together like it should. They wonder why it lacks so much. I'll tell you why, because you left God out of it. Because in the beginning, God, there was nothing. There was God, and then there was something. And God was the one who made the something out of nothing. And guess what? That's what he'll do for your day. You start with God. You should start every day with God. Every day should begin with him. Every day, the moment your eyes open, you should thank him for waking up in the morning. You should thank him for the life and the health and the breath in your body. You should thank him for the day that you're about to have. You say, I'm not looking forward to a good day. Then you better get God in on that thing because he's already ahead of you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when it all started with God. By the way, true religion starts and begins and ends with God. It's not about man. It's not about religion. It's not about churches. It's not about what man does. It's about who God is. See, that's true religion. That's why salvation is all of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, look here. Real salvation comes from God to us. It doesn't go from man to God. That's why it's false religion that tells you you have to live a good life and do the good works and join a church and get baptized. That's false religion. That's a religion that points you to itself or to its leader or to the religion itself or to a baptistry or to good works. No, I'm sorry. See, real salvation came from God. It started with God. It started with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son was willing to take and flee to the crimson womb of Mary and be planted miraculously in that virgin womb of that pure young woman and planted there miraculously, was conceived of the Holy Spirit in that miraculous pure virgin womb of Mary, was born and walked this earth for 33 homesick, sinless years, and then went to Calvary's cross, and God in human flesh paid the sin debt we owe to God and gave his life for us and wiped the calendar clean so we might have salvation, and it came from God through Jesus to you and me. Is that how you understand your salvation this morning? Do you understand salvation, that it is Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Savior alone? It's not me. It's not what I am. It's not what I do. It's not what I do not do. It's what Jesus did on the cross that paid for my sins. Went to the grave, rose again 3 days later. You see, it's all of God. In the beginning, God. Marriage that works out starts and ends with God. Life that works out starts and ends with God. Everything else, in the beginning, God. Forgive me for telling the little joke about the mom with the two little boys who were thieves. They'd steal everything they get their hands on. She did not know what in the world to do with these boys, but she heard that there was a pastor in town who could help boys with their stealing problems. So she takes them in there. She leaves the youngest brother outside, takes the oldest brother with her into the pastor's office on the appointment. They sit across the desk from each other, and the pastor leans over and looks at the little boy and just simply says, "Son, do you know where God is?" And the little boy just sort of sat back in his seat for a moment, and he thought, "I got his attention." He leaned over and gave it a little more pastoral. "Son, do you know where God is?" And his eyes began to get a little bit bigger, and he thought, "I got him." The preacher's thinking, "I got the boy on the run now. He's realizing his sin and his awfulness of his life." So he stood up and he leaned over his desk and he said, "Son, do you know where God is?" The boy jumped up out of his chair, ran out, grabbed his little brother by the hand, started dragging him down the hallway. He said, "Come on, Tommy, we got to get out of here. They lost God and they're trying to blame it on us." That's what's happened. We lost him somewhere. No, you didn't lose him. You left him. In the beginning, God. When it starts with God. Now listen to me. When you have problems, please go to God. When you have troubles, please go to God. That doesn't mean you can't use anybody else, but go to him first. Take it to God first. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Get in that yoke with Jesus. Come to God. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Genesis 1:1 also teaches us, in the beginning, God. When God made everything, it was right. Look at the end of the chapter here, if you would. We'll get a little more Bible under our belts this morning. Chapter 1, verse 31, last verse. Now look, this is after all of creation. This is God's made everything. God's created everything. He's made it all now. And look at verse 31. In the end, on the seventh day, he rested. You know why he rested on the seventh day? He wasn't tired. He was finished. God made the world in 7 days. How many believe God made the world in 7 days? No, he made it in six, and he rested on the seventh. Okay, just checking. You're good. You did better with that than you did Brother Evans' announcement mistake when he said we're having the adult dinner at the Lord's, no, not the Lord's Supper table. See, I can't even get it right. We're both hopeless. Welcome to the nursing home this morning. Okay, hang on. Going to have the adult dinner at the information station. I caught it, but I didn't say anything because I figured nobody else got it either. Anyway, yes, God made the world in six 24-hour periods. I said six 24-hour periods. Because the evening and the morning were the first day. Did you know that's been a day ever since then? Scientists can't even change that. Now look at verse 31. God made everything. Look at it. It says, "And God saw everything that he had made." That's emphasis on he made, right? "And behold, it was okay. And behold," it had to be sent back for a recall. "Behold," they had to have a congressional committee to investigate and check. No, that's not it either. "And behold, it was," what does it say, church? Next two words. Look here. See, when it was all made by God, look here. When the way God made it, the way God created it, it was right. The way God made it is right. Yeah, but that's not how it is. Well, that's not God's fault. With God, it stopped right here in the end of Genesis 2, as a matter of fact. But then there's Genesis 3. Look here. And sin comes. God didn't make that. And two perfect people in a perfect place had a chance to spend forever with God, and they chose to disobey him. And now the river of sorrow of humanity that exists today, look here, people, didn't come from him. In verse 31, when it was done, he saw it was very good. You know, there wasn't one cemetery on the planet, not one. There were no hospitals. There was no death. There was no cancer. There was no sickness. There was no sorrow. There wasn't a heartache or a heartbreak to take place, and two perfect people were going to spend forever with God. So, well, just the two of them, no. God intended for them to have children. And to replenish the earth, as it were, or to put people on the earth at that time. Replenish the earth came after the flood. But wait a minute, that was it. They were in a place where they were provided for, taken care of. They had jobs for them to do because that's good. God knows that we need to work. So it's a good thing. And while we can, we need to work. That's a good thing. Work's not a curse. That's a part of what God gave them to do. They were to take care of the garden that he put them in. But he put them in a perfect place. It was all good. There were no gray hairs in their head. There were no wrinkles on their faces. There was no sickness. There was no sin. There was no sorrow. There was no disease. When God made it, ladies and gentlemen, God created it, and it was right. So I guess anything that God has made according to his word, we should probably just leave it like that, the way God made it. They call us old-fashioned because we follow the Bible. They say, you don't understand how it is in 2016. Oh, yeah, I do. I don't sleep under these chairs. I don't live in this building. I live in a society just like you live in a society. Look at me, people. And that's not what God intended out there. That's not it. Now, I saw it this morning. I saw a glimpse of it. Did you see it? Driving in, did you see the snow-capped mountains out there? Did you see it this morning? Come on, now tell me you looked up and you saw that. You saw God. And by the way, that's where snow belongs, way over there. Way out there on them mountains. And if you want to go play in it, that's stupid, but go for it. But it's way out there. Sun shining here, snow there. The snow song for all Christians is on a hill far away. That's the way it's supposed to be. But did you see the snow-capped cathedral he put out there this morning? Did you see how every mountain is like a mighty hand that points back to its creator? Did you see how the mighty trees point back to God that made them? Well, that's the way it was supposed to be. See, it was right. Man was to walk and to talk every day he came and walk with them in the garden in the cool of the day. And it was right. Man was right. God was there. Everything was good. See, when God made it, it was right. Now, in the beginning, God reminds us, leave it like he made it. Don't mess with it. What God created and he told us about in his word, we need to stay with that. The confusion and the anarchy of our day is man-made, not God-made. This week, I don't know if you noticed it in the news or if they said anything about it, but on Thanksgiving Day, as a matter of fact, 157 years ago, a man named Charles Darwin published a book called The Origin of the Species. Darwin was an atheist, raised by his grandfather, who was an atheist, and taught him that we may have evolved, we may have come from one life form to another life form, and there may be an evolution of natural process. The actual book that he wrote, Darwin wrote, that said we come from the monkeys, was called The Descent of Man. That came out later on. But you know something, people? I do not know of any single piece of literature that has affected our society in as negative a way as that single piece of literature. Because that single piece of literature dismissed the creative hand of God. Darwin had written it when he was a young man, by the way. Young people shouldn't be writing material that affects society. They're too stupid. Okay? They have no business writing, but he did. But he didn't want to publish it because he knew it would fly in the face of what people believed about a six-day creation. So he waited till later years in his life. Then he published it. Nothing has impacted our society like that piece of literature. Because that and The Descent of Man, another book that he wrote after that, taught us that we're nothing but higher forms of animals. So look at me. Isn't that what we've become? Look at our society today. Look at me. Many people out there today, they're nothing but animals. They fornicate like animals. They act like animals. They live like animals. They conduct themselves like animals. You say, well, what is that about, Pastor Johnson? Look at me. You take the creative hand of God out of a man and woman's creation and tell them they're nothing but animals who evolved from a lower form to a higher form, and guess what they will do? They'll act like animals. Our society has broken down. You say you're going to blame Charles Darwin for everything. No, I'm going to blame people who've turned away from a simple principle. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Instantaneously, just like that, he spoke it into existence. And for 6 days, God said and there was. And God said and there was. And God said and there was. And that's exactly how it turned out. Guess what? The way God made it was right. People didn't live like animals in the Garden of Eden. People didn't act like animals in the Garden of Eden. People didn't consider themselves a part of the animals in the Garden of Eden. They considered themselves a creative work of an almighty God who, by the way, the Bible says, God made them in His image. In the image of God made He them. Genesis 1:26. God, when He made it, it was right. God created man for a purpose. God created woman for a purpose. God created marriage. He created a man and a woman to be married. God performed the first marriage in the Garden of Eden. He performed the marriage. He took the rib from Adam, made a woman thereof, brought her unto him, and he said, this is now your wife. And God performed the first wedding ceremony in the Garden of Eden when he put a man and a woman together. That's right. That's absolutely right. It's the way God made it. And God made a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman. And God didn't intend for them to change from one to the other. He made a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman. Now we live in a society where they're going to tell us we have to have a bathroom for somebody who can't make up their mind about what they're going to be. Look at me carefully, people. When the seed of man and the seed of woman came together in the womb, as Psalm 138 tells us, curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth, the mother's womb. When that seed came together, man and woman, at that instant the gender was determined, and determined by the miraculous work of God's work in conceiving a child in a mother's womb. That is what God determined them to be. And it's right. That's the way it's supposed to be. God created marriage. That's the way it's supposed to be. A man and a woman. That those people were then to have children. A man and a woman. And so they were to have life. And God created the family as the basis of society. That's why He started with a husband and a wife as the beginning of everything and told them to have children. And their children would then become the part of society, but the family unit would be the basis of our society. Now what do we have? People have problems nowadays. What do? They call the government. The government. They want the government to fix everything. They want the government to take care of our problems. God created the family. If families did their jobs, we wouldn't have these problems. And it's simple as that. It's the way God made it. It's right. Now, see, that sounds too simplistic for some people, but don't miss it now. But it was right the way He made it. Hey, look here. It was right. And the way God made things is the way it's supposed to be. God created mankind for Himself. God created the marriage and family as the basis of our society. God created us to honor Him with the life that He gave us in the beginning. God created. In the beginning, God created means this, and I'll finish this morning. It means just to keep it simple. You see, people, since if Genesis 1:1 is not true, then there's no point in reading Genesis 1:2 or any verse thereafter. This book is not a compilation of thoughts and doctrines. It is, in fact, and indeed, the Word of God. And it starts in Genesis 1:1. And if that part's not true, then none of the rest of it's true. Then you can just go ahead and put it down because there's nothing in it that's worth reading anyhow. It is just a collection of myths and stories passed down from mankind. But that's not what the Bible is. The Bible is given by, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that book is not what man says. No, it's not a thought what man's ideas are. It's what God gave us. And He gave it to us, and not only that, but He gave it to us in its perfection, has kept it that way for us. So Genesis 1:1 is where we can begin and know that everything thereafter is exactly what God says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Answers the question. Answers the question of where God came from. Answers the question of where we came from. Answers the question of how it all should be. It all starts with God. It all was right when God made it. And let's leave it just like God gave it to us. Do you have a perfect record of God's word in your hand? Or do you have just a religious book? Ladies and gentlemen, you understand this morning. Look at me. Now look around you. There are people in this room who are going to base their never-dying eternal soul and where they're going to spend their forever on other parts of this book. Like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You understand now, there are people in this room, crazy as we are, who are going to base our eternity on what this book tells us. Oh, wait a minute. And those same people, crazy as they are, even base their life here on what this book tells us. And we just want to keep it simple. It's all good and it's all God's word. Everything it tells us, that's what we need in our lives. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. It's all in there. It tells me what I ought to know, what I ought not to know. It tells me what I should do, what I shouldn't do. It tells me everything. It's a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. It's bread, it's milk, it's water, it's meat, it's seeds, it's light, it's guidance, it's direction. It's my godly GPS to get me through this life. Just keep it simple. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Keep it just like God gave it to you. You know what it requires you to do in Genesis 1:1? Then when you keep it simple is, well, you quite simply just trust the God who wrote it. It's accepted by simple faith and trust in God. Say, well, I have my own issues with that. I bet you got issues with God in some other areas too, huh? See, if I can trust him about Genesis 1:1, then I can trust him about anything else he tells me to do with my life. Yeah, but Pastor, we don't know if Genesis 1:1 is right. Nope. That's called faith. But that's okay. I've had faith in things before that didn't work out. All that stuff we were taught as kids, most of that's junk. You know that, right? Wear clean underwear in case you get in a car wreck. Who cares what your underwear looks like when you're in a car wreck? How many have ever been in a car wreck? Good. Hold your hand up. Let me see it. Did anyone ask you if you had clean underwear on? Did they? Did they walk up to you and say, by the way, before we exchange numbers, do you have clean underwear on? No one ever asked you that. See, that was junk. No singing at the table. Excuse me. Why not? Well, they don't sing with food in your mouth. But who said you can't sing at the table? It's not proper manner. Who came up with that rule? Where's this stuff come from? And I'm sorry, the swimming pool thing. You can't swim for an hour after you eat because you get cramps, you'll die. That's not even true. They even found that's not true. But you believed it, didn't you? Huh? How many believed in Santa Claus? You still do, I bet. Believed in Santa Claus when you were a kid. Yeah, you did. He climbs down the chimney. We never had a chimney. We had one of the nasty paper things on the wall that looked like a chimney. I thought, he's not coming out of there. But I thought there was Santa Claus and the Easter bunny that lays chocolate eggs. A bunny that, are you with me? Huh? You believe that? You got your little basket, went out in the backyard looking for the Easter bunny who laid chocolate. Bunnies don't lay eggs, people, and they're not chocolate. They lay stuff that looks like chocolate, but don't eat it. Okay, but I'm sorry. Forget it. Right before lunch, praise God. So here's the point. Now look at me. The point is you had faith in that kind of stuff. Yes, you did. So what's the problem with simple faith and trusting God? In the beginning, God. Okay, I'm good with that. Oh, and anything else he tells me to go. You know what? Since that's true, I'm good with that too. Anything else he asks of me, to give myself to him, to give my life to him, to live for him the way he wants me to. Why can't I trust him with this? In the beginning, God. Just keep it simple. Genesis 1:1 teaches us we have an all-powerful, almighty God. Folks, no one creates but God. Now, man makes stuff, but we don't create anything. That's the problem with evolution. It says there was stuff that came from nothing that turned into people, which is kind of an abbreviated statement, but you get the idea. But God, creation means to make something from nothing. Since he has that power to step out onto nothing and speak the worlds into existence, do you understand how powerful that makes him? You understand that makes him the big G God. The all-powerful, almighty, the Elohim God here. The word God in Genesis 1:1 in Hebrew is Elohim. It means a plurality in one. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the idea of the Trinity. But more importantly than that, it means the all-powerful, almighty God, El. That simple two-letter word for God in the Hebrew language, most commonly used El, means almighty, all-powerful God. You got one of those? I do. Because in the beginning, God. If he could make something from nothing, I suppose He can make something from my life then. Oh, Isaiah 61:3 says he'll give you beauty for ashes. We burn it up, bring it to God, and he makes something even out of that. That's amazing. Well, that's God. In the beginning, God. Let's keep it basic and simple. You have an all-powerful, almighty God who could make something out of nothing that you see every day of your life. Can't you believe that he can actually help you with your problems, your life, your issues, the stuff of your life? Can't you believe that? Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.